Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Jill Hackett. Jill's family owns Ferndale Farms. Jill, the farm has been in your family for a long time. How did they get started and how did you get started in farming?
Okay, well, the Hacketts, I believe, came from England originally. And they came in on the East Coast and ended up here in Ferndale. And they started out on a dairy ranch in the bottom grounds there in Ferndale. And then they decided, I think first part of the century, they decided to sell that dairy and move to the hills. So the ranch they bought is on Howe Creek, and it's a little southeast of Ferndale. When they first bought the ranch at Howe Creek, there was quite a logging operation going on. And there was actually a little timber company, E.J. Dodge, that actually cut a bunch of redwood ground there. And so they ended up in the hills and started clearing land like most people did back then. Families just lived basically on a lot of diversity. You know, they had milk cows, they had sheep, they had beef. They took everything to town and basically bartered for what they couldn't raise.
And now how did you end up deciding to marry into this farming family?
Well, I guess I fell in love and I married into it. Initially, I just started helping on the ranch, and then my husband Steve got involved in some other ventures. And so I started taking care of the livestock, and that's basically what I do now.
And now you raise cattle on your ranch. What type of cattle do you raise?
We raise English, mostly Angus. We have mostly black Angus with a little bit of red Angus.
And why those particular animals?
Because they do well in our climate. They're early maturing. Since we've been finishing animals on grass, that makes a big difference. And they do well without a lot of supplemental inputs also.
And so when they have their calves, is that something that you have to help them with, or are they pretty much able to do that?
We actually don't have to help a lot. We do buy our bulls off the ranch. We don't raise our own bulls. We're very careful about selection of those bulls, that we're choosing low birth weight bulls. I think because our animals calve in good weather, on good feed, we calve in May. With all the exercise that they get, I think it makes a big difference on calf size and their ability to have the calf unassisted. And we rarely have to assist.
So those are steers that you raise for meat?
Mm-hmm. And heifers.
Okay. And you also raise sheep on your farm for the lambs. What type of sheep do you raise?
English breeds, traditional. We're running Dorset ewes, Cheviot ewes, and those will be crossed together, and then we're also going to be using some Leicester rams on those to get like a three-way cross.
What are the characteristics that are desirable about that cross?
Okay, well, it's a really popular cross in the UK. They call them British mules, and by taking a purebred animal and crossing it, you're going to introduce hybrid vigor. The Dorset sheep themselves are actually not hill sheep, considered hill sheep in the UK, but the Cheviots and the Leicester are, so they're super hardy. A lot of times they're raised in a really steep country, which our place is, and they forage brush a lot better than Dorsets. Dorsets are more of a flatland or lowland breed historically. So the Cheviots actually produce really super hardy sheep. The lambs jump right up. They're just tough, long-lasting, prolific sheep.
Okay, and that's up at the Howe Creek Ranch, which is a pretty high elevation, am I right?
It goes from around 500 feet to almost 3,000.
And the other piece of property that you ranch is called Boggy Bottoms, which just sounds wet.
It certainly is. And that is actually, it's an old dairy that's right down in the Ferndale Bottoms.
Uh-huh. And is that where you raise more of the steers?
Actually, all the young stock go down there. So the lambs will be weaned down there about July. And then our calves, we wean our calves late fall, November. And then they'll go down there and winter there and finish there that following year.
You used to raise goats for meat, and you're not doing that anymore, and I'm curious about why that is.
Well, that's a good question. The goats, a lot of work in this wet country. We had a lot of feet problems because of the wetness and also parasite problems that we weren't seeing with the sheep or the cattle. The other thing with goats is they're very slow growing. Comparing them with a lamb, at 6 months, we would have 120 to 30 pound lamb, and we might get a 130 pound goat in about 3 years.
Wow, that is a big difference.
Right. And we tried running boar goats mostly. Terrible mothers.
You got to have the moms taking care of those babies.
Yes. So we just decided because of the production and those other things that we weren't going to keep them around anymore.
Now, I'm also thinking that there aren't as many people who are as familiar with eating goat meat, I don't think. Am I right about that?
I think you're right.
Yeah. And so easier to sell lambs. People culturally are more familiar with eating lamb.
Definitely.
In this area?
Lamb's pretty popular in a lot of countries.
And what are some of the predators that you deal with trying to raise these animals?
Well, we have a lion, bear, and coyotes. Don't see problems with lions and bears, but coyotes are definitely a concern. Also, ravens are an issue at lambing. Eagles. I actually lost a baby goat. I saw one swoop down and grab him and take off.
And that's a bald eagle?
That would have been a golden.
A golden eagle. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm blown away by that thought. That's amazing.
Yeah, I was amazed too.
Yeah.
When I saw it happen.
And then you have some guard dogs that you use.
Yes.
Tell me about those.
We use a Turkish breed. They're called Akbash. They're a big white dog, as a lot of those guard dogs are.
Uh-huh.
I started with a couple older dogs that are actually really big. They're 130 pounds probably. I got those so they could be instant workers instead of starting with pups. Then last year I added two new ones and I got them as pups. So we rerun four dogs and I think that's a good number for us. I think we could do with three probably, but one of my older dogs, she's about 12, which is pretty old for a big dog.
Yeah, that is.
So she's really slowing down.
How does that work? Do you just kind of let them out there and they know what to do? Or is it that whistling thing?
The older dogs I got, I had goats at the time when I got them, and they just adapted to the sheep. And I was able just to put them out in pasture and not worry about them too much. But the pups that I got, they actually stayed in the barn and around the barn in a really tight, confined area with a selected handful of sheep. Because I couldn't have sheep that would hurt the pups, but I also didn't want sheep that were terrified. I needed something kind of gentle and calm.
Uh-huh.
So those pups were raised with about six sheep until they were probably 8 months old. And then they transferred out with the big dogs and the maid flock.
And they pretty much knew what to do.
The older dogs I got actually weren't handled very much, which is a preference for me. Because where we live, it's fairly remote. We don't have people going through our property and whatnot. They're not mean, but they don't really like people and they're shy and they'll just usually bark and leave. But the puppies I got, I was super careful in picking those. I picked a much smaller dog. They're about 90 pounds, but they were actually handled a lot more. And it's actually, I think, a disadvantage for us because they really like people.
Yeah. And so they're work dogs.
Yeah. They need to stay with the sheep and they'll always go back with the sheep. But pretty much everyone that lives on our road knows not to touch them or talk to them to encourage them. So,
well, this is interesting learning about the animals that you're raising and the dogs that are protecting them. I'd like to come back next week and maybe talk some more about that. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Jill Hackett from Ferndale Farms.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and avocado too.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.